Welcome to this special edition of the My Green podcast. We've just come to the end of COP28 negotiations. As we all know, there was a unique and I think quite interesting differences that happened this year. So the COP28 climate talks in Dubai ended in a historic deal that committed the world to a transition away from all fossil fuels for the very first time. The president of this year's UN-sponsored summit, the UAE Sultan Al-Jaber, brokered an agreement that was strong enough for the US and European Union on the need to dramatically curb fossil fuel use while keeping Saudi Arabia and other oil producers on board. And the final agreement calls for countries to quickly shift energy systems away from fossil fuels in a just and orderly fashion. Qualifications that helped convince the skeptics. Now, under the deal, countries are also called to contribute to a global transition effort rather than being outright compelled to make that shift on their own. So that's monumental. It is the beginning and the start of moving away from our addiction to fossil fuels. And, you know, everybody now has to get on board. So this conversation really is about, you know, what can we do as individuals? What can we do as business leaders? What can we do as employees working for companies, etc.? So I'd like to introduce you to my esteemed guests. We'll start by being a gentleman and ladies first. So we've got Shipra Gupta. Would you just tell us what role you play, who you work for, and your area of expertise, please?
Sure. Thank you, Jarvis. So I am Shipra Gupta. I am the investment stewardship lead with Scottish Widows. And Scottish Widows is one of UK's largest pensions and savings provider. We have roughly under £200 billion of assets under management, so that's fairly large. My role is within the investment strategy and execution team, and people might not understand what stewardship necessarily means, but so a component of my role is to ensure that our investments are invested responsibly, so in a way that is, you know, aligned with the COP28 agreement that you just highlighted. And also, I think a big component of what I do is about bringing about the real world change. Prior to that, so this is my fourth year in Scottish Widows. Prior to that, I have worked for about 11, 12 years in sustainable finance. So it brings about, you know, X number of years, over a decade in sustainable finance. And before that, I've worked for another 10 years in different sectors and industries in different business divisions, but always with a sustainability lens on. So I don't think I can call myself an expert yet, because this field is fast evolving and growing, and I'm learning new things every day. But I do think that the role that I play, or I've chosen to play, is to be an insider in the business, corporate and investments world, to change it from the inside, and to do what is right for, you know, a future worth living in.
Wonderful. Shipra, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to have you with us. Timmy, we'll move to you, if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself. You have a pseudonym as Mr. Money Jar. You're known as the expert in the world of money. But would you please just tell us who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, thank you very much, Jarvis. Hi, everyone. My name's Timmy Merriman-Johnson. I'm a qualified financial advisor and the founder of Mr. Money Jar, a financial education platform. And my work is broadly online and offline, kind of 50-50. Online, I do social media content and I teach workshops. And offline, I give talks and appear on TV and radio and so on. And I'm just very much about teaching people about how money works, personal finance, investments, getting on the property ladder in a way that's fun and accessible. And I've been doing it for the past 4 years.
Amazing. Thank you, Timmy. And what a great asset you are to the world. And David, lastly, but by no means least, everybody might know about Make My Money Matter, but would you please tell us your role with the organisation and what you do?
For sure. So my name's David Heyman. I'm the campaign director at Make My Money Matter. And Make My Money Matter is a public awareness raising campaign, which is all about helping people understand the links between their money, particularly their pensions, and climate change, and using that growing awareness and momentum to change how the pensions industry invests at scale And my role covers all of our public-facing communications, storytelling, media, creative content, really all of the tactics out there to try and help raise awareness and engagement on our money.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much. And it actually brings me very, very nicely to the context and the subject matter of this show. It's what can we each do individually to become a solution to what is perhaps the greatest issue of humanity's time, the climate crisis, biodiversity loss, toxicity and pollution that clearly is killing our planet. Now, my understanding is the one single and most powerful act we can take is switching to a green pension. Now, Make My Money Matter had a lot to say on this over the last few years. And in fact, one of the stats was you can have 21 times more of a positive impact if you switch to a green pension than becoming vegan, stopping flying, driving an electric car, etc., etc. David, is that pretty much a good overview? And would you tell us a bit more about the work that Make My Money Matter has been doing and what kind of impact you've seen and been having?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we thoroughly agree. We feel that the decisions over where we put our money are some of, if not the most important that we can make as individuals in terms of tackling or having an impact on the climate crisis. And so kind of how the campaign came about, why we were set up, how we work, what we've achieved. So the campaign was set up to address two interlocking problems. The first, a need to mobilize much more money from the private sector towards climate change, towards investing in the industries which are going to help get us out of the crisis we're in, rather than those which are causing the crisis right now. The second challenge was what you kind of alluded to, Jarvis, is a growing awareness and engagement from individuals about things we can do to make a better impact on the planet, from the food we eat, to the clothes we wear, to how we travel, the brands we associate with, the organizations we work for, a real growing awareness and engagement on everyday steps we can take. But a significant disconnect between how people thought about their money as a vehicle for impact and those other everyday actions. And so when people kind of start talking about what they're doing with the environment and maybe recycling more, eating less meat, all of these things. But what we believed was that lots of this work was unintentionally being undone by the impacts of our investments, our pensions, or the banks we associate with. So our campaign has been all about raising awareness of the fact that our money isn't static, inert, sat in a bank vault somewhere in Switzerland, slowly accruing interest. And if you're lucky, in 50 years' time, you might be able to get a pension. That the reality is that money is being invested in companies all around the world for better and sometimes for worse. And that can lead to contradictions. Contradictions between the vegan who's invested in factory farming, the doctor who's invested in tobacco, or the climate campaigner who's invested in the very companies they are campaigning against. So we think there's a problem there. So our campaign was set up to address that. And how we work is by trying to tell this story in fun, creative, engaging, different ways to get people to realize the impact of their money. You guys may have seen, we put out a short advert a couple of weeks ago with Olivia Colman, which is all about highlighting the links between money and our pensions and the fossil fuel industry. We had over 15 million organic views of that film, which was a real kind of big success for us and helped us kind of get out of the bubble of the conversation around pensions, climate change. So we try and get interesting, diverse, fun content out there to tell this story. We do media work, we do events, we get interesting spokespeople talking about these issues. So there's the public awareness side. We then try and work with businesses, NGOs, universities to get them thinking about their company pension schemes. We actually did a piece of research with Scottish Widows last year, which found that whilst 95% of the FTSE 100 companies have a sustainability plan, just 5% of those mention pensions, despite the fact we're investing billions through those pensions every year and those pensions have significant carbon footprints. So we try and get all organizations to align their company schemes with their values or their sustainability plans. And then finally, we try and use that growing momentum, awareness, engagement from the public and from businesses to go to the pensions industry and work with them to change how we invest at scale. Because as much as it's fantastic for an individual to find a better pension, which is more aligned with their values and maybe switch to a green pension, which we would really value and think is really important steps, we also want the pensions industry as a whole to be changing how they're investing at scale. So we work with the industry to drive change on fossil fuel investments, on investments in renewables, tackling deforestation, these kind of issues. And that's how we try and achieve our kind of systemic long-term impact.
Amazing. David, thank you so much. That's really, really in-depth information there. I really appreciate it. I mean, you mentioned the Scottish Widows first year report, which you did last year. I want to talk about this year's report, which has just been released, just released last week, which I was very much a part of. Shipra, do you want to just give us a quick overview of the findings from the report? And would you perhaps personalise it and just share anything that kind of surprised you in the report that you that was new to you or made you question, you know, the way that things are growing in the green pensions domain?
Sure. So yes, as you said, this was a report second year in the running. I do think that what happens is when people like us who are constantly focused on pensions, and I'm going to use the word green pensions or responsible investment pensions and investments, we kind of end up living in an echo chamber because, as I said, my role is stewardship and I'm constantly engaging with our investee companies to do better. I'm constantly engaging with the industry to, you know, advance more, constantly engaging with the government and regulators to have the right policy and regulatory environment to make things happen, and then constantly engaging with our investment teams to have the right products in place. And so somehow, you know, whilst we are conscious and very acutely aware that people on an everyday basis or everyday people don't engage with the pensions, seeing that in black and white and seeing that, you know, it is so lower down the pecking order of the choices that they can make can actually be a sort of a wake-up call. So I think what really surprised me was that, I mean, people have gone and looked at, obviously, recycling is something which is becoming increasingly mainstream. And thanks to, you know, the public media and the comms around it. But it was also interesting to see that people had put, you know, making dietary changes, which we very much need, above, you know, pensions. And it again brought home the point that people don't generally engage with their pensions. They don't understand, to David's point, how their pensions are invested and the power they can have in terms of, you know, bringing about change and change at scale. So, I mean, I don't want to undermine the efforts that individuals make on their in their lifestyle choices because there's a circularity, right? The more people make lifestyle choices about traveling differently, eating differently, being very conscious of their consumption, that's going to impact the kind of businesses that will exist in the world. And pensions then exist, pensions then invest in those businesses. So there's absolutely a role, but clearly people have not understood the role of pensions and the power of pensions and how their money is invested. I also think there are certain other components. So that is the sort of, you know, the perception gap. There's also the fact that it has brought home the point that 39% people feel that climate change is the biggest issue of our lifetime. But they haven't drawn the connection to, again, back to their pensions. And then there's another finding that there are people who have this willingness to use their pensions. But then there is this information gap, right? So they want to know more from their pension providers. They want to know more from their employers. They want to invest in, like, 30%, nearly 29% want to invest in a green pension. But I think they haven't understood, and part of it is upon all of us in this room, is to help them make that change. So how do people move from their current pension schemes to more responsibly invested pensions? So these are some of the findings. There are some other nuances to it, which we will, you know, uncover as we go along. But yeah, those were key ones that stood out for me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I think you're absolutely right in a sense that, you know, nearly everybody, particularly everybody that's working, has a pension. They just kind of, it's just this thing that happens kind of in the background. But actually, the investment into those funds is absolutely huge, and actually world drivers. I mean, they literally dictate economies and sectors. So thank you for that. I think it is becoming more popular, particularly the work that Make My Money Matter has been doing. I know that had a huge impact. Timmy, you're a financial advisor. I remember seeing very recently, which I thought was really clever, you're able to put the climate crisis into numbers, which I thought was an interesting way of doing things. When it comes to pensions and the work that you do and the advice that you give, and you know, what could you offer in terms of knowledge around green pensions and people actually engaging with it, and how you inspire them to make that kind of change?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's been really great to hear David and Shipra's contributions to the conversation so far. One of the best films I've seen in recent months was Don't Look Up, with Leo yes. DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. I'm not a great film person, so I thought it was literally about a meteor heading to Earth, and then I did a bit more digging and I realized that it was a metaphor for climate change. So climate change is the metaphorical meteor that's heading towards us. I think it's something that we're all aware of and in the back of our minds, but at the same time, it's so big and it's so existential that we don't feel like we can do something about it. But the thing is, there is a solution, and it is through your pension, which is what we've just heard from David and Shipra. We need to take people to the very beginning. If you work for a company, you're aged over 22, and you earn more than £10,000 a year, you'll automatically be enrolled into a pension. And as a result, nearly 23 million of us pay into a workplace pension. But we know from the Scottish Widows report, Green Report, that only 10% of us have a green pension. Now, if we were able to close that gap, that 90% gap, then we could save almost 400 million tons of carbon, which is huge.
Which is huge.
I got that number right, Shipra, right?
Yeah, it's 368. You rounded it off really well. And can I
just
say...
Yeah, rounded it up, yeah.
To translate, if you want to translate that to, you know, to make it easier to people, to make it easier for people to understand, it equates to 11 return flights between London and New York.
So it's like going, you could save the equivalent. So without changing any other aspect of your lifestyle, you could save the equivalent of flying to New York and back 11 times in the space of a year, which is huge. This is a tiny change that you can make, which will have a phenomenal impact on the environment, because so many of us are paying into our pensions every month. But the reason why I think that a lot of people don't switch is because pensions happen very much in the background, which has already been said. So you join the company, you're auto-enrolled in, and as we know, 90% of us aren't paying into a green pension, so we're probably paying into a default one. When you pay into a default pension plan, that means that you could potentially, your money could potentially be going into companies which contribute to climate change, you know, paying, investing in fossil fuels, industries and stuff. When your money goes into a green pension, then that is a fund which is either trying to reduce the amount of companies that invest in that contribute to climate change, or are seeking to transition away and so on. I think that there are a few hurdles to people switching to green pensions as a result of auto-enrollment and the number of jobs that people work in. The first thing is that lots of us don't actually know where our pensions are. There's like £27 billion worth of lost pension money. So the first thing you want to do is find out where your pensions are and consolidate them if you can. Once you've found out where they are and you've decided whether to consolidate them or not, then you can choose to make the switch. So I think it's like the solution's really easy, but there are a few barriers that are in the way, which if they can be overcome, will enable people to make the switch. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes absolute sense. And we're actually getting down into the detail now, because I think we've had a really broad overview. Okay, who's going to answer the question, which I think is probably the most important question? How do we find out where our money's invested, number one? And how do we get to change it to a green pension? Like, what? Who can give me the best advice on that?
So how do we find out where our pensions are? You can call the pension tracing service. So if you just do an internet search for pension tracing service, that is a government tool that you can use to find out where your pensions are. You give them the name of the company that you worked at, and it'll show the pension fund that's associated with
that company. Ah, that's brilliant. I didn't know that was even a thing.
Me either.
Yeah. Two, there are many, many pension platforms that in an effort to get our pension savings will have a pension linking service attached to them. So you sign up to them, you again put in the names of previous companies you've worked at, and they will consolidate your pensions into one pot, and then you can manage your pension with them. And then switching your pension to a green pension really is as simple as, you know, if you use an app or a website and you're familiar with the login details, you can switch it manually. That's what I've done with my pension. Or if you're not sure, you can call up your pension provider and you can ask them for assistance. Or you can speak to, you know, the HR department in your company. But it all starts with familiarizing yourself with your pension or pension pots, if you have them, where they are, and then you can get in touch with the providers and then make the changes. It kind of has to be done in that order.
Yeah, you make it sound so easy. So actually, anyway, Shipra, would you please just give your bit of insight into how it's done?
Yeah, I mean, I think Timmy's covered most of it. I mean, I would say your first port of call is if you are an employee and you're enrolled in auto enrollment or through your employer, the first port of call would be to contact your HR team and your pensions team to figure out where your pensions is invested. And, you know, that is what is one of the stats that has come out from the report as well, that that employees are looking for more information from their pension providers and also from their HR departments, you know, and from their employers. And I think, again, in terms of switching or moving to more responsibly invested pensions, it's a question of, again, understanding what are the options available to you, made available to you by your employer. So, first is, I think, is a bit about education. So if it is invested in a default product, what does that default product do in terms of, you know, environmental, social, or, you know, governance considerations, known as ESG considerations? So understanding that and understanding where you land with that, and also what other self-select options are available. And I think employees can also engage with their employers to provide, you know, if they don't like the current proposition they have, is to engage with their employers to provide them with a better solution. And then there are pension providers like us who work with the employers. So fundamentally, employers is the linchpin between a pension provider and, you know, the employees, right? And so they engage with pension providers, and pension providers engage with employers. And employers should take the feedback from their employees when they design the pension offerings that they give to their employees. And obviously, there's never a one-size-fits-all. So usually there should be some optionality for, you know, people who are more passionate about certain values to have certain self-select funds, so they can possibly, you know, move allocation of 100% from a default product that their employee gives and reduce allocation to that, but increase allocation to some specific thematic ESG products that align more closely with their values. So there is an array of options out there that can be looked at.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. David, I want to come to you. As we know, particularly in the UK, because we're focused on this, you know, this area being our home and the country where we can have most impact, I think it's about 80% of businesses fall under the SME category that actually drive a massive amount of commerce as part of the economy in our country. But it actually is probably one of the most least represented areas, although it's actually the biggest and the most impactful. Now, one of the stats that got me when I read through the report was that often smaller companies are not subscribed to, if that's the correct terminology, to green pensions or ESG pension funds. What is that correct, first of all? Have I understood that correctly? And what can we do? I mean, this is going to go out to a lot of business owners that will be under that SME bracket, because that's our kind of audience. What can they do in order to, you know, get the company into shape that actually supports their values? Because most businesses that we know want to be more sustainable and actually doing a lot to make that happen, yet they haven't been able to make this move. What advice would you give?
Yeah, and I'll just add something onto the last question and kind of bridge it over a bit. Because I think Shipra and Timmy have done a really good job outlining what an individual can do. You know, I'm motivated by this podcast. I want to go and switch from my Scottish Widows default to a Scottish Widows Greener Fund. And that's great, and we should be encouraging that. But I think what the report also shows, and what Timmy was mentioning, it's about 10% of people right now who have done that. Between 5 and 10% is for what we've seen over the past couple of years. And getting that up is a challenge. Lots of the reasons we've talked about: awareness, engagement, action, accessibility. So, you know, best case scenario, we're getting that up to 15%, 20%. It's great, but that's still a huge shift. It's going to take a long time. And I think what I'd also encourage people to think about is what they can do to encourage the industry to shift at a whole. Because I think relying just on a nice green fund, which is more ethically managed or more sustainably managed, is great. But that's not the kind of long-term solution to addressing where all £3 trillion of the UK pensions industry is being invested and how that's being managed. So I think there's an action you could take as an individual, which is like, let me look at my money, let me move it if I want to, and find a good fund which represents me. But then there's a kind of advocacy, a leadership action which you can take, which is calling on the Scottish Widows of the World or the other leading pension providers to say, what can we do at scale? How can we integrate sustainability and green pensions or green principles into the default fund, which is, let's be honest, where we know most people will remain for the foreseeable future and where the majority of money is going to be invested. So I think there's also a kind of advocacy leadership action which individuals can take, and also which businesses can take. Because whilst it's the same kind of principle for a business, it's great for SMEs and for others to look at finding a pension scheme which really aligns with their organizational values, their commitments, their sustainability plans. As I mentioned at the start, and you alluded to, Jarvis, there's a massive gap right now between the organizations who have got a sustainability plan, which is lots and lots and lots, and those who are thinking about pensions. And so let's get those businesses to find a pension scheme which represents them as an organization and represents their staff. But then what they can also do, and what we're encouraging them to, is to join a movement which is raising this issue and calling on the pensions industry to do better at scale. And that's where they can use their voice, their position, their platform to try and encourage a much bigger shift, which I think is what is really, really needed. And we set something up called the Green Pensions Charter about 2 years ago, near where we launched, trying to get businesses big and small to come on board and say with one voice, we think the pensions industry should be doing more on climate. And we had Tesco, we had IKEA, we had Co-op, we had B&Q, some big names come on board, sign up. And that really gives some power and credence and pressure as well that can drive change. So yes, let's all make sure we've got a pension scheme which represents our values and looks after us. But let's also think about how we can move the dial too.
Yeah. Sorry, David. So I think you misunderstood my point. So I was trying to talk about, so when I was talking about Scottish Widows and, you know, having also self-select options, was to have a suite of options available to employees, by no means I'm underplaying the role of default pensions, because at Scottish Widows, what we do is where my energies are most spent are spent on our default product, right? Because that is the product that has the maximum, I mean, that has where most money is invested in. And I think I will not, my role will be pretty meaningless if the only way to, you know, move that, if I thought the only way to move the dial was to have some, you know, products on the side available. I mean, just to give you an example, so the Scottish Widows default product is underpinned by our responsible investment framework. And we look at multiple ways or multiple dimensions to incorporate ESG considerations within it. So the largest focus that we have internally is to make our default proposition the powerhouse of change that it needs to, while ensuring that our members and beneficiaries get, you know, the risk-adjusted returns that we need to ensure they get. So, to give you an example, we have our net zero ambitions. We have our net zero targets for 2050. We have an ambitions of halving our emissions by 2030. And these are incorporated into our, you know, our PIA, which is our default strategy. We have an exclusionary screen, which is another instrument to actually look at, you know, what are some of the kind of risks that we think, you know, we need to exclude, and that includes things like tobacco, controversial weapons, but also a certain threshold on thermal coal as a fossil fuel. I think a big role that default pensions can play. And as I said, we can make our products as shiny as we want them to be by making them as ESG integrated and exclude everything that is out there, which has a connotation of, you know, climate change to it. But there are consequences to it. And what happens is if organizations like us exclude everything, it's not like those companies cease to exist. They are then bought and run by private holding companies who then continue to use, you know, burn fossil fuels. So I think one of the very important roles that organizations like Scottish Widows have is around helping companies to transition. So using our shareholder rights and responsibilities, engaging with companies, as I said, engaging with policymakers, using our shareholder voting rights to then get the companies to transition. And I think there is a crucial role to play in that orderly transition for it to happen. And we believe that as a large provider, as a large investor in companies, a large shareholder in companies, we have that role to play to support these companies. These companies are fundamental to the economic architecture of the world. And it's imperative that we play our part in making that transition happen. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, my point on, you know, having some select options is not misunderstood on the focus that we have on default. Now, the point is whether everyone's doing that and to what extent they are doing that is the point. And I think that's a very, very fair point, is that it is, the onus is upon us to also engage the industry, and which we are trying to ensure that by default, all default options are ESG integrated, right? So you know, that the onus, that the industry is also playing its role. And so there's a top-down approach where industry plays its role, works with employers. But I think pension providers and employers will also be helped by the demand side. So if employees, you know, come with full, you know, conviction and engage with their employers and engage with their pension providers to demand more, I think then is when you start seeing a sea change happen, right? Because everyone's aligned in the same direction and everyone's pushing in the same direction. So I think that is the thing, that's the balance that we need to have, where we do a top-down and a bottoms-up. We have been doing, you know, looking at responsible investment for a while now. And we have published this report because we want a greater employee voice filtering through our employer channels to us.
I mean, I totally hear both sides, and it feels like, you know, as usual, there's this policy implementation that needs to happen, where perhaps there could be some tax benefits for individuals and organizations to go down the green pension side. But it's typically chicken and egg, isn't it? It's one of those things where the more companies that will do it, then the government will take notice and it will be incentivized. Because it's a 90% gap at the moment, it's clearly not on the agenda. I know there has been some rumblings and some challenges to government by the Lords in the House of Lords. And I know Make My Money Matter have been very much a part of that. But it's that classic situation. Timmy, sorry, you were going to interject there, but I just wanted to share that bit just so that the audience can get some kind of overview perspective.
Yeah, no, just wanted to offer a build to SMEs. So as you said in your initial question, Jarvis, 99% of all companies in the UK are SMEs. So that's companies with 250 employees or less. And in my experience, most of these companies are with Nest, which is the government's free workplace pension scheme. How many of these businesses know that Nest has an ethical pension plan? Have one.
Yeah.
The Nest.
I did actually, because I looked into it. So thankfully I did know, because I made sure that we looked into it as an employer.
And five gold stars for you, Jarvis. So not only does it have an ethical pension one, but Make My Money Matters 21 Times report is quoted on their ethical pension plan page. So it's like, if you're in this default workplace pension scheme, what are you doing as an employer to let your employees know that they have options? You know, could you workshop for them? Could you have, you know, an expert come in? I know I'm biased, but like an expert come in and teach them about the options that are available to them. So There are options, even within the default schemes, that lots of SMEs are going
to
be a part of.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I think the Make My Money Matter campaign is phenomenal. I just think that it's really cut through. It's hugely impactful. I mean, we have been trying to, you know, through our report, engage with employers, engage with employees, you know, raise awareness. And I think, you know, been working with Make My Money Matter across, you know, I think we worked with them last year as well on another corporate pensions report. But I think the one that has landed right now, the Olivia Colman one, is, I mean, visually, it is so impactful that this whole, you know, bottoms up swell is something I'm hopeful that if and when we do this report next time, that the dial, you know, the employee or the people understanding of how their pensions are invested in waste and where it is invested will actually be massively dialed up. And then hopefully that will tend to what Timmy is saying is that, you know, people will go and then figure out where is my pension invested and then challenge their employers. And then we work with the employers to actually create, you know, we can create the bespoke default for a particular company. We can show them what we do in our default. I mean, it just opens up, you know, this whole conversation, making it richer and more meaningful.
Is there an argument that, you know, depending on your values, and we do know that, you know, nearly 95% of people in the UK want to live more sustainably. Only 10 to 15% of people have acted. Why? Because they don't know what to do. Is there an argument that you might not quite make as much money by investing in a green pension, but you are having a much more abundant, resourceful impact on planetary decision making, future generations, etc., etc.? Or is it pretty equal that you'll make just as much money from your non-green pension as you would from your green pension? What are the gaps there? What do people need to know and understand about that?
I think that even if green investments deliver less returns, not all returns are financial. I come back to Don't Look Up. Spoiler alert. But you don't want to end up like Jonah Hill at the end of that film, surrounded by rubble, asking people to subscribe to a YouTube page. Like, if there's no planet left, then what's the point? So I would much rather we all came together and decided, you know what? The planet's important. The environment's important. We may get less returns financially if we do, if we invest in a green way, but it'll be better for all of us overall. And actually, if you look at how ESG funds have performed versus the S&P 500 in the last few years. In the first 12 months of the pandemic, they outperformed the S&P 500. So that's the US premier stock market index. Last year, some of the larger ESG funds underperformed the S&P 500. But these are really short time frames that we're looking at. My hope is that as we all come together and invest in a more green way, that just becomes the standard. And then we can chart a course forward. That'll be my view on that.
I think one of the things that I've learned most recently, and I wish you were taught this at school, I know, Timmy, you are very, very good at this, is just this very simple understanding about compounding investments. You know, a little bit that is compounding, and at the end of your life, i.e. which is when you need your pension, it's matured to the point, but you just keep tucking it away, not looking at it, it compounds, and suddenly you've got, you know, 250, 500,000, a million, depending, you know, which is amazing. Why are we not taught this stuff when we're at school, when we're five, when we're kind of shown that, you know, money makes the world go round? It's just absolutely crazy. Anyway, sorry, I'll jump off my soapbox for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'd really, two things. One, I completely agree with Timmy, which is, what's the point in having an extra 2.5% in that 250 grand you're talking about if the world's 5 degrees hotter and we're all screwed? So, like, let's get some perspective about what we're talking about and that potential return. But having said that, I actually don't, that's not the argument I'd like to go with. I think the argument I'd like to go with is that these can absolutely be as profitable, if not more profitable, than other investments. I think there's plenty of evidence which will show that over the last decade. It's a really interesting study looking at pension funds in the US, some of the biggest pension funds. I know we're not talking about divestment specifically, but this research looked at, had these pension funds divested 10 years ago, what would their total revenues be now versus having not divested and may stayed within the fossil fuel industry. And they found that these pension funds had lost 100 billion by not having divested. That's not a call for everyone to divest immediately right now, but it shows this idea that just staying within the fossil fuel industry and you'll just always make loads of money and doing green stuff, you won't make money, is really, really flawed. And I think we need to think differently beyond that, because as you said at the start of this, all the nations of the world have come together and said, we're phasing out the fossil fuel industry. And so if those companies aren't transitioning, and I mean transitioning really and right now, are they going to be the companies you're going to be wanting to investing in 15 years time, where the world has just said we're making them redundant? Probably not. You're probably going to be wanting to invest in the companies who are going to take their place. And that's where I'd position this for people who are thinking about green investments.
Yeah. And then being the pension provider in the room, I think I ought to answer this question. So you know, the point is made, right? Like, we need a world worth retiring into, right? We are all saving for our pensions. And imagine if we retire with a big pension pot, but have to spend all that money, you know, flood-proofing our apartment, or we can't step out of the house, we need a hazmat suit because it's so hot, or because there's social strife and, you know, and there are healthcare challenges and, you know, all of that. Like, what's the point, right? Like, I mean, you're saving for what? They're fundamentally that established, right? But also, you have to realize that pensions are a long-term investment, right? It's for the medium to long-term horizon. And I think it's important that we, and there's enough statistical evidence and enough meta studies. I think the largest was a 10-year study that looked at papers, academic papers that did research on ESG funds and ESG investments from 2015 onwards. So like, you know, like the last 8-10 years. And it concluded that ESG focused investing, or investing that looks at ESG considerations, really reduces downside risk, to the point that David just made. And you can, when you look at the short term horizons of, you know, what happened in the last 6 months or 1 year, there might be, you know, volatility in what is the return that you receive. But pensions are a long-term investment, and there is enough evidence that in the medium to long-term, investments with ESG considerations are going to perform better and give higher risk-adjusted returns to their members, beneficiaries, whatever you might want to call it. So I think there's no disagreement in the room at all. And I think we are reaching a point, thankfully, in the industry where it is becoming, you know, really hard for people who are on the other side of the equation to actually challenge what we are telling them. So I think we are getting strong consensus. Of course, you know, we live in a world where there are political, you know, incentives that people have, and, you know, people are evoking, nationalist, populist approaches. And so we know across the pond, there has been an ESG backlash, and it's flowing into some other countries. But those are used for all political motivations rather than for the right financial and existential reasons. So, yeah, just wanted to make, yeah.
No, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And we are coming to the close of our time together. But I would like to ask each of you, firstly, thank you. There's a plethora of really good, actually quite simple, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful, information there to make it very easy for anybody to go out and actually make this switch and this transition, like today, or certainly when you get back to work on Monday. So please go out and do that. I'd like to ask each of you, you know, really the same question, and it's really to end on a moment of inspiration, or to end on a high. What can you offer as inspiration to everybody that's listening that are still in two minds about doing it? What would you say to them, just to kind of help them make that decision and just tip them into the right side of making a decision? So, David, should we start with you, and then we'll go to Timmy, and then we'll end with you.
Yeah, just really quickly, a story of inspiration which actually helped set up the campaign was an amazing woman called Dr. Bronwyn King, who is an Australian oncologist who, at the age of 30, sat down with her pension advisor and asked, where's my pension being invested in? She was a doctor in Australia, and found out that three of the top five holdings in her pension fund were tobacco. And she had been spending the last 10 years treating the victims of lung cancer, largely caused by the tobacco industry, and realized that her money had been driving the very diseases that she had been treating, and was heartbroken about this, and set up a campaign called Tobacco Free Pensions as a result of that, and has been lobbying the pensions industry to move out of tobacco and divest from the tobacco industry. And I think last year they hit £1 trillion of money being divested from tobacco from pensions industry as a result of that campaign. And I think it's just a brilliant example of A, someone understanding about the impacts of their money, understanding the contradictions with their lifestyle, taking action and making a change. Now, not everyone needs to lead a £1 trillion campaign, but we can all take everyday steps which have a real impact with where our money's being invested.
Amazing. That's such a great, great bit of inspiration. Thank you very much. Timmy, what would you, how would you like to end?
Now, I think the great thing is that if you're already paying into a pension, you're part of the way there. But if you're listening to this, the likelihood is that you've had a number of different jobs and therefore have a bunch of different pension pots. So three questions to ask yourself are, how many different pension pots do I have and how much money do I have in them? Two, do I want to keep them where they are or do I want to consolidate them into one place? And then three, whether I've done that or not, do I want to switch them into something which is a bit more environmentally sustainable? Those are just three very practical questions for people to think about as they go on this journey.
Brilliant. And would you just remind us again of the pensions finding service that you mentioned earlier? We will put it in the link at the bottom, but just tell everybody again where they can find that.
Absolutely. So the pension tracing service phone number is 0800 731 0193. Or if you just search pension tracing service, it will come.
Pensions tracing service. Brilliant. Yeah. I couldn't remember. It was the tracing bit I'd forgotten. Timmy, thank you. Absolutely brilliant. And Shipra, let's talk specifically about Scottish Widows. And you know, why should people switch to Scottish Widows Green Pension?
Why should people wish to Scottish Widows Green Pension? Because Scottish Widows is a big, large player, right, in the industry. So it's a big pensions provider. We are very focused and committed to responsibly invested pensions, and we are very committed to driving the industry to move to a 3 trillion campaign, David. So not move away from that 1 trillion campaign and make it a 3 trillion campaign where all pension products available in the country are, you know, ESG integrated. And so why you should look at Scottish Widows as a pension fund is because we are ahead in the journey, whether it be through our default pension products or through other bespoke funds that we make available. We are very vocal in the industry. We are constantly engaging with policymakers. We are creating industry frameworks. We've launched one with Make My Money Matter on deforestation, etc. Right now, we are also focused on bringing, on driving the climate nature nexus. So, you know, much of the conversation today has been about climate. But climate is so intertwined with nature that I think we need to like highlight and bring forth the climate nature nexus as well. We are also ensuring that we don't leave the social factors behind. So we ensure that just transition and indigenous land rights and human rights are actually very much integrated into the environmental conversations that we have. And we do that across our investment portfolio. So I think why you should invest in Scottish Widows is that. But I don't think this is about the, you know, the marketing spiel of Scottish Widows. I think this is about ensuring that all the stakeholders within the, you know, the value chain, so whether it be pension providers, whether it be governments, whether it be employers, whether it be people and employees and all other intermediaries, are all playing their role. And so, you know, governments and employers are ensuring that they have the right mechanisms in place so that, you know, the beneficiaries and members whose money we are investing actually know how it is invested, where it can be invested, and have the power to make the decision on how it should be invested. And then equally for employers to engage with the government, but with pension providers like us to ensure that they have the right products available to their employees. And then to educate and communicate with their employees. And I think for employees and people out there, for everyone to take onus of the role that they need to play to make this a £3 trillion campaign. So imagine if everyone, you know, played their own part in the right way, the difference we would make. And I cannot highlight that time is not necessarily on our sides. One of the findings that was there in the report is if you look at the report, the 18 to 34 year olds. So if you break down the demographics, you see the 18 to 34 year olds really getting this stuff. They stand out from the rest, right? They stand out from the rest, the older generation. So much so that some of them are saying that we are ready to invest in, you know, in place-based investing, even if it costs more to us. I mean, that's, they don't have to do that. But what I'm saying is that they're ready to do that. So obviously, there is the level of understanding and the level of interest in, you know, the Gen Zs and the younger generation is there. I do think, though, that for them to be able to actually change the world and fix the world, we need to give them a world that is fixable. And that's the role that, you know, the other demographics can play. So I will end at that. But yes, there's a role for all of us to play.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, you've very, very clearly laid out the simplicity of people becoming a really substantial solution to the climate crisis and temperatures rising than being part of the problem. Timmy, David and Shipra, thank you so much. This has been an education for me, and I like to consider myself as being fairly clued up on things. So thank you for that. It's been really, really informative. For those of you that are watching, I am going to be posting all the links to Timmy and David and Shipra, the Green Pensions Report, Make My Money Matter, and of course, Mr. Money Jar. So thank you all for listening. I would very much like to do a follow-up with you guys on natural capital and the nature aspect, Shipra, because I think you've just opened up a whole new opportunity for us, and maybe we can do that again soon and come back together. Thank you all very much.
And I want to do a personal thanks to organizations like yourselves, you know, Timmy, your work with My Money, Mr. Money Jar, David, your work with Make My Money Matter, and Jervis, your work through My Green Pod. I think the civil society bodies and the role that you all play in, you know, highlighting this. I mean, you have been doing this for years, and you are responsible for driving the business world to take where we are. So please continue with whatever you're doing. I think we need all hands on deck right now to move the dial. So thank you very much.
I agree. Thank you very, very, very much indeed. And I look forward to our next conversation sometime in the foreseeable future. This has been the My Green Podcast, Green Pensions COP28 special. Thank you to my esteemed guests. Hope you enjoyed the show.